just says, I am me, I'm from this corporation, I do really cool stuff, talk to me. You know, it's very, very out in the open. DEF CON is about 8,000 hackers. And when you walk up to people, it just has a badge that says DEF CON. And you say, hi, what's your name? And they go, who's asking? You know, they're very paranoid. Well, at both those conferences, they do a thing called a wall of sheep. They have an open wireless network. We have an open wireless network. And the purpose of this, now remember, these are all hackers / security professionals. The reason we have a wall of sheep is to demonstrate that even the security professionals get it wrong. They use an open wireless, and they talk in the clear. Anybody can be monitoring that on purpose or even accidentally. That's what we're doing here. We're monitoring the traffic on the wireless network. If you used an insecure protocol, meaning one that's an open plain text, we have, using a program called EtherCap, as you can see over the last few days, we've captured a few credentials. Just a couple. Now, the thing is, with these credentials, if I were to log in on this open wireless network with these credentials, ooh, zombies! Wrong track. If I were to log in with some of these credentials, they could not distinguish if they were doing. We had this in a previous session. If they were doing discovery for a civil or a criminal case, they can't tell the difference between me behind the keyboard and you, because it came from the same IP, and we had your credentials. It looks like you. Now, how do you protect yourself? Always use a secure protocol. Facebook, Gmail, Twitter, they all have an HTTPS address. If you use that, they're not going to get your credentials. Or use a VPN if you have one, like if it worked. Always connect to the VPN first. That's a secure connection. It's an encrypted tunnel. They're not going to get your traffic. We're nice. I'm going to go home and erase this drive. Forensically erase the drive. The NSA won't get the data back. But the guy at the coffee shop, he's not so nice. He wants your bank account. All your money belonged to him. So the thing is, you would think at a security conference like DEF CON with professionals, or Black Hat with professionals, DEF CON with hackers, they would never show up on this page. Wrong. Oh, yeah, it's funny. The hackers there, they don't typically, they kind of know. But the professional security guys, they have lots of certifications and the common sense of a tulip. Okay, so they show up on here. Now, you'll also notice there's some very strange posts. For those who can't read it, this one here says, hey, guys, I like pie. This one says, zombies. Like I said, wrong track. Okay. This one says, the info below is false. So, oh, this one, this is a really good one. This one's message is pants. Professionals are usually wrong. Yes, last year, several people, actually probably quite a number of people, figured out that if they went to a page that used clear text authentication, most of these are going to web pages and trying to log in, and they used user ID and password, whatever they typed in, it just displayed on the screen. Well, we noticed that it stopped updating for no apparent reason. And we went to the actual console. Let's see here. The actual console. And as you can see, this is a core dump. They crashed the program. The program we're using is EtherCap. And we went, wow, that's interesting. Well, we finally got somebody who the person who was doing it wouldn't fess up. We didn't care. We really wanted to put in a bug report and say, hey, let's fix this cool tool. But they didn't come forward. Well, later on in another session, somebody accidentally did it again and managed to figure out what they did. And it turns out if you put a colon anywhere in the password field, it addends EtherCap. Now, EtherCap is a no source.
I think it's in any field.
In any field? I know specifically it'll work in a password field. We can test. Let's do a test. There we go. Well, actually, let's leave it on the console. It crashed. There it goes. Okay. Congratulations, you just killed EtherCap.
This shouldn't happen.
Wow, cool. I haven't seen that message before. Okay. Oh, sorry. Now, Yes. And now, yeah, actually, it potentially, he was saying up here, it could be a potential buffer overflow. If it is, since EtherCap runs as root, yeah, they could own my box. You really don't want this box. It's a pretty crappy box. Yeah, I'm going to wipe it anyway. Now, what? Did you crash it again? evil hackers. Oh, that's what we're here for. So, there, it's running again. Quit that. Now, last year, is the guy here who reported it last year here? Oh, I was so hoping I'd see him. Was that you? That we were troubleshooting up here and trying all kinds of combinations to figure out what it was. Well, we were going to put in a bug report, and you get your name on it, and it looks pretty cool. Oh, I found a bug in EtherCap. Way cool. Well, who crashed? Okay. Too much caffeine in this audience. Yeah, we could do that. Make it relaunch. Thank you. Push the button. There you go. Push the button. It'll count down 108 seconds, and then it'll do it again. Or 108 minutes. Sorry, 108 minutes. Lost fans. Okay. There you go again. We were going to issue a bug report. However, when we actually went to the site to issue the bug report, we noticed that the last time this code was updated was in 2005, and it's no longer in active development. However, it turns out... Yeah, go for it. Hack away. It turns out that the people who put distributions together, like Red Hat, Ubuntu, Kubuntu, that sort of thing, what they do is if there's a bug reported, they may go in and modify the source code and recompile it for that version of the distribution. It turns out that in 9.04 of Ubuntu, EtherCap worked. Somebody issued a bug fix in 9.10, and then it was carried forward into 10.04 that essentially rendered EtherCap brain dead. If you go to the bug report, actually at the bottom, somebody made a comment and says, wow, your code really sucks, that won't work. Here's how you do to fix it. Well, we actually took that code, put it back in the source, recompiled it, and came up with a patch, and that patch works, and EtherCap started working again. I spent like a week trying to figure out why EtherCap would not output any passwords and user IDs. It drove me insane. Let's test it. Test his hack, see if it worked. If it doesn't, we're going to charge you double. it's working. There you go.
Let's semicolon. Semicolon.
Okay.
Watch.
No, it's a colon, not a semicolon. Okay. So that's the story behind this. And the whole reason we did this demo last year, and since it's the hacking thing, we figured we'd show it to you again, is people do this all the time. They go to the local coffee shop and are giving away their credentials, and you have no idea who's listening in. Some of you might end up listening in. Now, the other cool thing is none of this was custom code. EtherCap is an open source project. Get off SourceForge. Ubuntu or Kubuntu or whatever flavor Unix you want. If it's Debian-based, you simply go to the command line and say apt-get install EtherCap. That's the sum total of the hacking required. You type in this little short command line, which you saw us type in. You go to this guy's site, irongeek.com. You get the PHP code that generates this web page that reads the log file output of EtherCap, and it automatically refreshes. I did make some minor edits to the text at the top, but other than that, it was all off the net for free. Now, from zero to building this the first time, including installing the operating system, took me about 3.5 to 4 hours. So that means the bored 14-year-old next door on your open wireless might be doing this. So use secure protocols. Anybody have questions? Yes. Not necessarily. You do need one capable of doing promiscuous mode, which is pretty much if it'll work in Linux, it's going to work in promiscuous mode. And this EtherCap will do injection, it'll do ARP cache poisoning, it does all this stuff. It's a really, really nice little tool, except for the bug. So, any other questions? No. Okay. Are our speakers
here? Another thing that that it does that a lot of people don't know about because it's a little more advanced is if you use a VoIP, EtherCAP can take VoIP packages and turn them back into MP3s.
Wireshark does that automatically too.
Yes. Yeah. It's a neat project. And also with Wireshark, another cool thing it does is if you have the key that it was encrypted with, you give it the key, it will decrypt it and then turn it into an MP3.
That's nice.
I did a lot of VoIP work with Cox, and we did that tons to test systems.
Now, if you want to do some really fun, scary stuff.
Oh, no.
How many have heard of the FBI program called Carnivore? Ooh, evil software to spy, right? Did you know it's open source? Yeah, and you can go get it, and you can take a PCAP file you got with Wireshark, also open source, and which essentially is just a sniffer. We have that built in here too. It'll just strip all the traffic off and stuff in the file. You can then use Carnivore to automatically rebuild everything, and it says, this guy went to this website and got this file, and you simply say, show me the file, and it pieces all those packets back together. You can look at all the web pages they looked at. You can pull up all the files and the music files and everything. Very, very easy to browse through whatever they did on the network. It's really cool. And it's free, courtesy of your government. Or actually, that would be y'all's tax money.
Speaking of, if you are actually work for the government and have a APO account, download the gold disk. The U.S. government paid for a copy of every virus scanner, which tomorrow or Monday, I think, I'm talking about why you shouldn't run those, and tons of tools. They paid for anyone who's in the military or anything like that. And if you have,
hey, what are you pulling out there?
Right. If I have it,
didn't know where he was reaching there for a second.
You have your military ID. You have an APO account. You can download this gold disk for free. It is a full paid-for version that Uncle Sam has bought for you. I highly suggest downloading it and using it.
You can actually do that with almost every tool without any form of identification, including Norton, McAfee, basically any.
Oh, I mean without Trojans.
Trojan man.
Yes, please.
Okay, let me interrupt.
So we can own your box.
Mr. Call, do you want to come down and say a few words? Because I think John will call in a few minutes.
We need the Price is Right music where they come down. Come on down.
Come on down.
You're the next contestant. The Hacker is Right.
How many use LimeWire?
No longer.
Ooh, this is one. Stop that.
No longer.
Okay. You notice nobody raised their hand because everybody in here basically knows this. If you put LimeWire in your box, all your box art belong to us.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. That's the biggest complaint I hear. If you install LimeWire, consider your box owned. Back up your data, wipe it, reinstall, scan your files, put your files back on. Major pain in the butt, just don't let them run LimeWire.
So why didn't anybody tell me the Westin is so far away from the Hilton?
Because you need exercise.
I apparently do. So if I'm sweating like a pig up here, it's because I was running all the way from there to here.
Yeah, isn't it like across the street?
No, it's apparently it's not. It's not. I got a little bit of water. A little bit of water. I've heard of this, like Google Maps thing or something. Oh, yes.
Yes, but it won't walk for you.
Apparently not.
No, they did a Mythbusters show on it. The internet's a myth.
Okay. Yeah. So I apologize for being late, guys. I was just over at the West and didn't realize how close it wasn't. I'm Randall Schwartz, by the way. Hello, everybody. Hey. How many people here listen to Floss Weekly? Woohoo! I love it. Thank you. That's a little podcast thing. You might have heard of it, so I just wanted to see what the audience relative ratio is. How many people here have one of my books? Yeah, thank you.
How
50
many
cents,
have 50 several?
Cents, 50 cents, 50 cents. All those. That's great. Yeah, eventually those all add up. And I'll also be on Hacking too.
Oh, I'm Hug Me.
Here we go. Yeah. Oh, you didn't do introductions yet.
No.
Oh,
no, we haven't done anything.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. I didn't miss much then.
No.
Good. This is my, I think, 9th or 10th year at Dragon Con, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott, how many years have you been? When did I first come? Do you remember?
When you were 14 and you were all alone.
Oh, it was right after the trial, wasn't it? Was it 95, 96?
No, because I only started in 97.
Okay, I think it was, so maybe, it was probably 2000 or something then.
Yeah.
I think close to 10 years. How many people in here have been here 10 years? How about 5 years? Good. How many people, this is their first year? First year. Oh, whoa, nice. Love that. Thank you guys for
anybody joining. 20 or more? 20 or more years at Dragon Con?
Oh. That would be a little
tricky.
Years old.
20 or more years at Dragon Con.
Is that you? Really? Oh, my God.
My badge number is 40.
Whoa. Whoa. Not
okay,
42, though. Not 42.
Oh, I'm not that
missed
good.
It by that much.
Yeah.
I will make a promise for next year, though. Larger room.
Oh, that's what he said the last 3 years. But it does need to be a big room. Everything here needs to be a big room. This conference is off the hook this year.
Yeah.
I don't know what the numbers look like, but, man, I tell you, there's only officially 15,000 people here. Right.
Well, if we all push hard enough, we can knock over the wall.
Exactly. And so we're waiting
so
for questions.
So with the spirit of the 101 panel, this is 101. This
it is 101.
101. With the spirit of the 101 panel, usually what goes on is we just ask for questions.
Indeed.
Because it got to the point where there were so many people asking questions, it wasn't worth it to talk.
Yeah. I mean, we could chat about things we've done. But
we're hackers, and a lot of the people out there, probably most of you are hackers. We're here to answer questions.
And we rely on crowdsourcing. So if one of you guys actually knows the answer better than either of us, which is pretty likely, we can share. So, questions? I mean, you all came here for something besides introductions.
Okay, well, this is... I'll introduce Randall. This is Randall Schwartz. If you don't know, you go and you buy a book with a camel on it.
Not anymore.
No more camels?
The new camels aren't me.
Oh,
I'm strictly on tutorial side now.
Okay.
Llamas, alpacas, and a bit of the picayune.
Okay. He wrote the O'Reilly Pearl books.
Yeah. Yeah.
The good ones.
The ones.
There are a couple out there that aren't very good. Those aren't the ones he wrote.
The ones that help put WWW in the side of a bus. That's my job.
Yeah. Do you want to introduce me?
This is Hug Me. And he gives good hugs.
We don't want to know. Don't ask.
Yeah.
What? What?
I dabble in, like, everything.
You see, that's why it was so hard. I didn't know what to say about you, because you do dabble in everything. And I also do podcast. Do you podcast yet? You don't podcast yet?
What?
You don't podcast
yet? No,
do
I don't podcast.
Oh, it's easy.
No, but I used to run a radio show.
Oh, that's much cooler.
I actually own rtfmradio.com.
Wow. And are you doing anything with it? No.
Not in years.
Oh, man.
But I had a roommate whose major was digital radio. We took all of his equipment, and I set up a giant internet site. Is T-Gray here? T-Gray? Nope. I guess not. But I set up an internet site, and we would stream a radio show once a week that would do hacker stuff and just off-the-wall crazy stuff. But it was fun.
You know what's insane is all these people are here, and nobody's asking any questions. And what do they expect?
I know.
They
already know
about
everything.
I guess.
We've done this so many years that the crowd knows everything.
We finally
everything.
Answered every single... Oh, good. People are leaving. Okay, there we go.
Yes.
That did it.
So, what is the meaning of life? Thank you!
If you came to last year's panel, you had that already. That's how it works. The real purpose of Hacker 101 is to get your graduate certificates so you can attend Hacker 201 tomorrow night. So that's why everybody's here. They all want that little badge so they can go to 201. Because 201's where the cool stuff happens.
Yeah, bring a funnel.
Okay. I have one more question.
Oh, wait, we got a question.
To see how bright you guys are. You ready?
Oh.
Manamana.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
Okay. About half of you pass. Go ahead.
Steve question. What's hacking?
Ooh.
I'll let you take that.
Fine.
By what
hacking,
definition? What context?
Hacking is taking something or an object, an idea, or something, anything, and doing something with it that is not what it was. Its original intent.
Yep.
If you...
Combining things, tearing apart things, poking at things, seeing how it breaks or doesn't break.
Hacking is not a bad thing. Hacking is how we have everything... from a microphone to penicillin. Hacking is taking something.
That's an interesting range.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows a microphone leads right to penicillin.
Right to penicillin.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, the reason I'm here is I want resources.
Race horses? Why are you racing?
You're too big to be a jockey.
That's what I do. My only job here is color commentary, so I'm just coloring things. You want resources for what kind of hacking, though?
Yeah.
Be a little more narrow. Otherwise, we're going to say Google.
Were any of you at my last panel?
Yeah.
I wasn't. So.
Okay, that was a hack. That was a giant hack. I spoke on a hardware piece called the Arduino.
Oh, that's incredible. Those are cool.
they are really neat. I built a game. I can even pull that out and put it back together.
We interviewed a couple of the creators of the Arduino on Floss Weekly. So if you want to go back to Floss Weekly, probably about 9 months ago, you'll hear us talk to one of the creators of the Arduino.
Well, the Arduino is an open source project.
It's incredible.
If y'all want to do something really cool, the Arduino is a system for programming a microprocessor. The microprocessor has on it a flash drive that's 2K. It has its own memory. It has its own processor. It has a random number generator. It has everything built into it. And that's this chip here. It's made by Edmega. Yes, this is another neat one. This is called the LilyPad, also made by Arduino. This one is specifically for sewing into clothing. There's a thread that you use on these outside pieces that is... has a metal in it.
So it supports threads. It supports threads.
Yeah.
Right. So for the geeks in the room, yes, yes. There you go. That's what I do.
And there's more than one. There's more than one, so it supports multi-threading. But you tie the threads into the wearable LEDs, and you can make T-shirts and stuff like that with LEDs, and you can wash this. Or I believe...
Nice.
Yeah, you wash this. But you use a little computer program to send code to this. It programs it. The code is based off of C. It looks a lot like C.
Is it processing?
Literally, huh?
Is it processing? Is it the language? Yeah, processing. Yes.
You literally tell the chip, I want to use this pin for an output. You hook an LED to it, and then you tell it, turn the LED on, turn the LED off. Wait this long before you do it, or I want this pin to be output, this pin to be input, put a switch on this one, an LED on this one, or a button on this one, an LED on this one, push the button, turn the LED off, push the button, turn the LED on. It's that simple to code.
Yeah, you don't literally say that, because out loud it wouldn't make any difference. You actually have to type that.
Okay, as an idea, this is an LCD panel. You wire this straight into the pins. No resistors, capacitors. You do put in something to control your contrast, but that's about it. Wire it straight in, and it's four lines of code to program that. And then after that,
Four, actually four. I was illustrating it for you.
Yeah. Four lines of code.
Four. This many lines.
And then the rest of your code is just what you're going to write on the screen. It's an open source project. All the stuff, the Arduino itself is $30. You download the open source software
SDK.
And program it.
Assembled or do you have to assemble it?
Huh?
Is that $30 assembled?
Assembled.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, unassembled is like $15.
Yeah, this is what you get for $30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has the PCB board that I bought with it.
There's an O'Reilly book about building stuff with this that comes bundled with one of them already. It's kind of cool. So it's like $70, you pay for the book and you get one of these Arduinos with it. So it's really cool. Ah, there we go. See? Was that the... No, that's not the O'Reilly book, is it?
No.
This is it. The maker.
Yeah, that's the O'Reilly book.
Yeah, you get that bundled with one of them if you want. You order it right directly from their website. I don't make a commission.
Hey, folks, I need to interrupt because Fuller's on the phone now.
Go.
Okay.
I'll turn on my game.
Hey, can you hear us?
I'm here. I can hear you all, too.
Yay!
Good.
Well, let me say, I can sort of hear you all.
We can hear you well in here, son.
I don't think it's the mic picking up this year, Scott.
Oh, yeah, you guys...
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So we need to speak into the mic in order for him to hear. If you could come up and kind of explain his situation.
We'll try this one. Does this work?
Yep.
I can hear that, yes.
Oh, good, good. I'm Fuller's father. He was here almost 15, 16 years, I guess. If not, for how long have you been coming to the college?
We've been going since 96.
96, but we have a little hold up here. Somewhere along the way, he did something that somebody else didn't like, and he's being held up for a while. Do you want to talk to that a bit, son?
Yeah. Basically, don't have an open system on the internet. Because under federal law, if you can't prove 100% that you didn't put something there, then you must have done it. And that is basically the rundown of what happened. Won't go into any further details until I get back. But basically got the best deal I could on a plea agreement of 5 years. And, well, I'm almost 3 years here, so one more Dragon Con left. And, well, it's kind of ironic, counting down Dragon Cons for counting down the amount of time I have left.
This call is from a federal prison.
But right now I have just over 14 months at best till I get back.
So you can see that the hacking does serve a purpose. We take things apart, we put them together, try to figure out how it works. I compare it to our generation, who took the 60s and 50s cars apart and see which hoods and taillights and engines and such would work. You're doing a lot of the same, but be careful on what is allowed to be placed on your system. As he says, if you can't prove it wasn't you, they'll take it was you and want to house you for a little while longer. So this is where we face, and he just wanted to say it can happen to the best of us. Now, as we left, the lawyer says, well, look at it this way. He'll be out by the time he's 30 and have the rest of his life. Minus 5 years of fast learning on this. So that's where we come from. But what he was doing, I'm not quite sure, but I think he's probably the most honest person I've ever run into, even with daddy and son type thing. But it was great, and we look forward to having him back, and I know the Con's looking forward. He's looking forward to be back here as well. And some of the staff on here have been conversing with him, writing back and forth, which he enjoys. He's come to be good friends with Ilanka and a few others, and this is his way of saying, I want to be a part of this thing too. So 2 years from now, he will be back in here doing his best. Anything else, son? Mom and Dad appreciate that, too.
Well, okay, I guess, Scott, we could do some questions and answers if anybody wants. I know right now it's kind of cutting in and out a little bit.
Yeah.
But if anybody has questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to say one thing I wanted to say is we are recording this, but because we're talking to a federal penitentiary, they are recording it, too. So you're welcome to ask him questions about what his life is at this point, but there's going to be some things that he can't talk about at this point, so please respect that. Other than that, if you'd like to ask questions about his situation, just raise your hand, and I'll need to come out with the mic because he won't be able to hear us otherwise.
Hi. I was curious if during your negotiations, did you have to have any restrictions put on you in what terms of what type of computers or technology you can use after you get out?
Well, there was restrictions on before I showed up here. For anybody who knows, you know, I was heavily involved in information security and technology. But basically since, what was that, 2005, for the past 5 years, I've not officially been able to use the internet. And, of course, in the past 3 years I've been here, I've had virtually no computer access. But upon my return, there's not really that much restriction. A lot of that they used to put in, but a lot of fights I've been reading case law where you have to really do some major stuff over the internet in order for them to completely prohibit that. Because if I did anything bad over the internet, then that would immediately violate my probation and I would come back here. But like most people, a lot of charges get a default of 5 years of supervised release after you're released from prison. But overall, there's not really any major restrictions on me once I leave, which is a good thing. Does that kind of answer the question?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
I have a question. I remember you saying that you enjoyed reading newspapers last year. I imagine that you still do that. What type of books can you get a hold of, and what type of books do you like, and can we send...
Hold on a second, Scott. I lost most of that.
All right, I'll repeat. Last year you mentioned that you liked newspapers and getting them. What type of books can we send you, if any? Because something to fill the time.
Well, I get changed my focus a little bit to a lot of stock stuff. One thing that I noticed that is lacking, that a friend of mine and I are working on starting up an organization once we both get out to kind of do this, is educational type materials. You have lots of novels here, lots of mystery and country western and sci-fi, but the moment you get into anything like Four Dummies books or Complete Idiot's Guides or anything like that, the 20 books I have in my room are probably the largest collection of anybody on the compound. So if anybody ever wants to send stuff to prison, books like that would probably be the best on just a variety of subjects. Other than that, a lot of different people get newspapers, magazines from all over, but, you know, it's kind of whoever gets it, you know, they put it in a communal pile and everybody kind of shares it around. But if you're interested in sending stuff, definitely Four Dummies type books or similar type educational materials.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. So she's saying in the back it can't be hardback.
Right. It cannot be hardback. Any unless it comes directly from a book publisher or a bookseller. The only thing you can send in is a soft cover book.
Okay.
And no more than five at a time.
All right. If anybody in the back has a question, if you could make your way forward.
If they could.
If you could.
Or just yell, real loud.
Or we can repeat the question, but he won't be able to hear if we don't. So, how's the food?
Well, I actually eat above average here, comparatively. I've since last December, I've become the head cook on a PM shift. Mm. So that means Thursday through Monday, I'm in charge of making sure that 600 other guys get fed what they're supposed to get fed, with the minimal amount of reallocating before and after it gets to the population, which is always trouble, considering, you know, there's only one restaurant in town and only one store in town. So, but overall, it's not bad. Tonight we had beef stew, noodles, green beans, pinto beans, leftover mashed potatoes and gravy from lunch. Not too bad, but I and the other kitchen crew people get to have first dibs on leftovers. Overall, it's not too bad, but it also depends on what, you know, when in the budget year it is. Usually September is the worst because they've spent all the money earlier. October is usually the best, actually November, because October they changed to new menus. In November they finally get all the food in that they just ordered. So November and December are the best months. Then it goes downhill for the rest of the year. Well, unless you have something like a region inspection or a national inspection, they come in and, hey, we have everything we're supposed to have that we haven't had for like 4 or 5 weeks, like cheeseburgers. You know, they actually have the cheese, or actually have fresh potato chips instead of ones that have been out of date for a couple weeks. But they save lots of money doing it that way, you know.
I had a question.
Okay.
You had mentioned something about you're vulnerable if you leave your system open somehow, and I'm kind of new to the whole I don't know as much about the computer stuff as a lot of people. So can you explain how to kind of protect yourself from being wrongly imprisoned, I guess?
Let's call it from a federal prison.
From what I can make about how to protect yourself in that, monitor if you have open file shares, FTP, web servers, LimeWire, Kazaa, you know, anything that's a file sharing, just don't leave it open. You know, monitor what people upload and download.
Hey, I have another question for you is, if you were to perform a security audit on a company, what types of things would you be looking for? What type of holes would you be looking to exploit and to point out to them, hey, you have these vulnerabilities?
Well, in majorly just the experience I've learned from being here, social engineering. Because you can protect all you want with all the biggest tools, but the hardest part is what happens if you get the IT guy or even a help desk technician, you meet him up at a bar, he's having a bad day because, you know, Jane from HR killed her computer for the third time this week, and he's drinking a little bit, and you start talking to him about stuff, and then you get a rapport going. You know, now all of a sudden you can find out a whole lot of information about that network, and it's all a matter of timing your social engineering.
Okay, anything else? All right, we got one more.
Hey, I got a question for you. So, considering your position, how would you say that the legal system should be changed so that individuals like yourself aren't incarcerated, but at the same time, guilty people can't simply hide behind the excuse of, oh, I must have gotten hacked?
It's difficult. That's something I'm still not quite sure how to answer 100%, but the U.S. government is slowly but surely changing some laws for the better. I know this takes away a little bit from your question, but there's lots of things that have, well, actually there's one major thing, the crack law that just passed just last month. For the first time in over 20 years, Congress has rescinded a mandatory minimum. I know lots of guys here that had crack cocaine charges. But the problem was, is if you have the crack cocaine versus regular cocaine, it was counted as 100-to-1 ratio. So if you could have 1 gram of crack, and it'd be counted as if you had 100 grams of coke. And when that happens, the problem is most people, white guys had cocaine. Most black guys had crack. So they were getting 100 times longer sentences than a comparable white person. That is being changed for the better. But there's also a lot of stuff. I'm helping a guy right now with his case in Florida. If anybody goes through Parker, City of Parker or Bay County, know that one of the several sheriffs are crooked, and one of the city cops there is has perjured himself not just once but twice about getting evidence, getting arrest warrants, and yet we can't get him a fair trial.
We might be about to lose the call here, so we might be about to lose the call.
If you would like, I could call back in 15 minutes, or either way. Would anybody like me to call back in 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a yes.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'll talk to you then.
Okay. That's good.
All right.
Hey. Excellent time. You should introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Pope Johnny X. I'm the Science Track Director. How you doing?
If we can just get the mailing address for your son or any information you want to send over.
Yeah, we can figure out how to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Mike. You're the mic guy now. More questions? Anybody questions for us or about that or him?
Actually,
chip on him that was running that.
What?
Are you using a body wearable chip on you or
no?
purchasable device.
Yeah, it's a little programmable LED sign. Big one, little one.
You sure about that?
DigitalBadge.com. I got this probably 10 years ago. They're dirt cheap now, and they're much nicer than the one I have at the moment. And you can put digital and badge into Google and find a zillion places that sell them. This is a Betabrite, and they kind of own the LED sign market, and they're not too difficult to find either, and they're fun toys to play with. And again, there are lots newer ones that you can do more with than this.
Okay.
Say again?
Can we hook that to an Arduino?
Yes.
Probably.
Yes, you can. Mine, I just programmed.
I was thinking that he had the Arduino.
You just typed it in? That's great.
I just uploaded code to it.
Actually, a question was asked earlier, if I can just add something to that. One of the gentlemen walked up asked, you know, what not to do in terms of getting putting stuff on the internet. Personal story, and I was very fortunate, apparently, you know, a long time ago I was still using FrontPage on FrontPage extensions and basically posting content, very, very, very simple if you're just starting out, putting up a web page. I had a server in my home, so I put a proxy firewall. Proxy firewall crashed one night and I had to rebuild it. I said, well, okay, fine, I'll just bypass it for about a couple hours. Threw the connections together. Next thing I know, the next morning I got in. I actually found that my server at home had been was running too hot. It was running a lot of bandwidth. Realized that something was wrong. I immediately pulled the plug and started looking around. I couldn't find anything on the system. And of course, then I started looking at hidden files and folders. Next thing I know, I found that I had been hacked. The FTP ports had been taken over, and I had porn sitting on my hard drive that was in hidden file folders, and I was a porn site. So I
was it good porn?
Yeah.
No. Do you still have
address?
Copies of it?
Yeah, what's your address?
I wiped the hard drive.
Oh.
So important thing there is it's very easy to make that mistake. And if you are going to use and you're starting out, first of all, I think the lesson I learned 2 years ago when I came to this conference, heard from the guy, is if you got a server at home and you got a static IP address, you better be careful and you better have the right equipment. If you don't know how to do this, take your server offline, host it on somebody else's site.
Yeah.
How many people here run an open wireless?
None
of you?
Or
purposefully? On purpose, run an open wireless. Or how many of you don't know if you're running an open wireless? Like your laptop is running ad hoc, for instance, which is pretty much every HP ever made. well, there are several cases. I've been doing a study for a while now to write a paper on it. There's two significant cases. One was a teacher who received some threats via email. They traced them back to this guy's house. The police show up at the house. They're mystified. What are you talking about? And, of course, they put the husband in handcuffs. They confiscate all the equipment. The police eventually figured out, like 18 months later, that the threats had actually come from the next-door neighbor kid who was in that teacher's class using the neighbor's open wireless network. But it looks like it came from him. They can't tell.
That was actually pretty smart cops, because in general they wouldn't even find that.
Yeah. If you listen to his story, yeah. It's like, wow, that was brain dead.
That's what I'm saying. I'm amazed they were that smart.
They actually figured it out. The other, well, the thing is, there's
probably anonymous mail or something.
You can do it via anonymous mail. They track it back to the. By the way, you can do anonymous mail, so it's and be stupid about it, and you're not really all that anonymous.
By the way, no disrespect for law enforcement officers at all. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they apparently are mostly undertrained for the kind of complex stuff that bad guys can do.
Now, the other case was rather interesting. The police stopped. By the way, these are all newspaper articles. You can go search them out yourself. The other one was interesting was the cops who stopped a car for a minor traffic issue to discover there was a guy driving a car with no pants. With his laptop on the seat next to him, driving around, he was looking for open wireless access points to surf for kiddie porn. How is there anybody in here?
Cats?
Cats? Who?
Oh, Kitty.
Kitty. Kitty. With a D.
Kitty. Oh,
Kitty, not kitten.
Drink. Yeah, okay, all right.
Take a drink.
I couldn't figure this out. Like,
suddenly all the weird fetishes come out.
Wow. It is DragonCon. Right, I was going there.
For now, this is not the furry panel.
Yeah, sorry.
Are there any teachers?
If.
Any teachers? No teachers. If you were a teacher over here, imagine if you had an open wireless network and this guy was surfing on your open wireless for kitty porn, and they come to your house looking for you. Could you imagine trying to explain to police, no, it was the naked guy who surfed my net while he was driving his car past me. It really wasn't me. You're going to end up like this John here in jail. They are not going to believe your story.
What happens if they do it at Starbucks? Or is it free, is Starbucks going to get in trouble?
I mean, there's been cases.
Yeah, of course not. They're a big corporation.
Right. Yeah, they have lots of lawyers.
Oxymoron.
There's a rather fuzzy. Emory has one, and also Georgia State Legal Review, where they're looking at all the laws right now. Legally, they're sitting right on the fence to whether if you have an open wireless, you are considered kind of like a common carrier. You're not responsible for the traffic. The other side of that, though, is by putting up an open wireless, you are complicitly essentially saying, it's okay, go ahead, use it. Because if I didn't want you to use it, I would have secured it. And therefore, you're complicit in whatever traffic goes across your network.
People are stupid.
Yeah. But the thing is, the legal system, no judge has ruled one way or the other, and they're waiting because there have been some opinions written, but not toward an actual ruling. And the legal community is wavering on the border of which way they're going to fall on that. So you could find yourself in hot water quickly.
Any decisions are jurisdiction-based so far.
Go ahead. What
about a place like a public library with a street access? At a library,
we don't filter anything. There was actually a ruling specifically about libraries. You're not allowed to filter.
Yeah.
You have to be open.
Yeah. Well, yes. What the question was, she works at a library. They have unfiltered open access, and they are not allowed to filter for adults. Apparently, you can filter for children. You have to have an adult blocker or something on there. Interesting. Most libraries are owned by either the county or the state. And as such, they come under sovereign immunity. So they can't come after you personally. The best they can do is try to sue the state. Good luck.
Yeah.
Yes, judge that works for the state.
I just wanted to add something as far as to help people understand how little you can rely on law enforcement to protect you. I used to work for an ISP. I'm a network engineer.
Yeah. Get him a mic.
Yeah. I've been working as a network engineer for probably over a decade at this point. So just so that you understand how little you can rely on police enforcement to actually do diligence and know how to check things to help keep you from being prosecuted, I can't count the number of times I've received local police calls and they couldn't do basic who is and, you know, reverse lookups for IPs and check to see who was actually posting equipment, websites and material across the net. And if you don't understand, and if they don't understand how to troubleshoot the problem and identify who's guilty, then if it's on your stuff, they're going to go after you. So it's very important to keep your stuff very secure.
It's also a matter of looking where the light's good. You know, the old story about, I don't know if you know the old adage where there's the guy walks up and sees this other guy looking on the ground and he says, "What you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm looking for my keys. I dropped them." And so he spent like 10 or 15 minutes looking around for the keys. And the guy says, "I can't find your keys anywhere." And he's under a lamp, right? The lamp's the important part of the story. Yes. So he's under this lamp, and he said, "Well, where'd you drop them?" I said, "Well, over there, in the dark." But why are we looking here? Because the light's good here. So it's looking where the light's good, and that's what LEOs want to do, because that's what they don't have training beyond that.
Okay. Can everybody see the address here on the screen?
The URL? No, sorry. the big thing here.
No, the idea is to write the email and then click print instead of send.
I get it.
Okay, we have a question back here. Go ahead.
How secure are the different wireless security protocols? Are some of them better than others?
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, I wanted to piggyback on that, if you don't mind. I was going to ask, from a legal perspective, is it better for you to have a purely open network or to have a really weakly secured network like with WEP?
Why are you using WEP?
That's what happened. That's all I'm saying.
I would think that the weakly secured one would be better because it shows you're making an attempt to secure your network, even though you're using a broken protocol, and they'll just assume you're stupid if it gets hacked.
At the same time, if you're using a weak one as opposed to an open one and you go to court, it's a strike against you to say, well, it was encrypted, then no one could have gotten in. It has to have been you.
Yeah,
it does. WEP was broken a long time ago.
WEP is dead. And
to give you an example how bad WEP is, we were testing some thin clients. These are they look like a laptop, but they go back to a server, give a remote display. And we got this one from a vendor. It was their prototype. We opened it up, and it immediately said, oh, look, there's networks. Look, this one's WEP. Hold on a moment. I have your key. You're connected.
Nice.
That was built into the firmware.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. We didn't use them, unfortunately. I thought they were totally cool.
I had the big brother's watching syndrome fear.
It's appropriate.
So let's say you want to learn how to either protect yourself. So the second you start Googling certain subjects, you're like, is big brother going to come knocking on my door because I'm trying to figure out how to break WEP so that I can learn? You see what I'm saying?
They're going to go after low-hanging fruit. So unless you're a low-hanging fruit, I wouldn't worry too much. There's just too many people to monitor out there. They're not monitoring everybody.
Or is there a better, more secure way to look for?
Go to the library.
It's all about... Yeah, there you go. What you do is you take your pants off. Take your pants off. Get into your car. Drive around.
You see what I'm asking?
You got it.
You want to learn, but
Security is a dial, it's not a switch. So you're going to spend, the more energy you spend being more and more hidden will be better, but at what point is it too much energy for you to even think about? And that's really, I think, what you're asking, but that's a personal decision. I mean, like here, of course, I'm not going to be on the Wi-Fi here. I'm going to be VPN the moment I connect because I know these guys are sniffing everything, right? So, but at the hotel Wi-Fi upstairs, maybe I might do some SSH connections, but I'm not going to worry about the rest of my traffic.
And there's a new threat out. Now everyone's got the new ad hoc where you can broadcast for they're like, here, you want to use mine? No, I don't want to use yours.
Then don't.
That's the most insecure thing.
Get your own net. Yeah. Take your own net with you.
When you do use a VPN, and it doesn't matter you're going over there.
Mm-hmm. You're going over there, but it's just insecure.
Yep.
One way you can think about it is, I know how to build a nuke, like blow up stuff.
Oh, that's good. Just put that in the mic. Yes.
Well, doesn't matter.
Okay. We'll edit it out in post-production. It's cool.
Okay. Doesn't
trust
matter.
Us.
The knowledge is free.
We're not going to say the
you
guys
can learn
really
all
short.
You want. You can test it on your own systems all you want. But as soon as you go somewhere to someone else's system and try to break in or do whatever, then you break the law.
That's also questionable, but okay.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah. The line is great.
Sorry to suddenly make the conversation a lot more rudimentary, but I came to Hacking 101 because I'm very interested in the idea, but I know nothing about the process. How would you recommend someone begin learning?
Okay.
How many people know what Freeside is?
Freeside, Atlanta.
Freeside, Atlanta. You here in Atlanta? Okay, Freeside, Atlanta. On the back table, there's little flyers about this big. Freeside is a hackerspace. They will teach you everything from electronics to welding. To code. Well, not hacking, but coding. You're going to have to, they'll teach you but what they'll do is they'll give you a screwdriver and a hammer in hacking terms. It's up to you to decide whether you're going to use it to build a computer or a Chevy.
For good?
The DEF CON 404 group is good too.
DC 404. How many DC 404s in here right now? Oh, there's several of us. How about 2600ers? Come on, Johnny, raise your hand. I know you go to the meetings every once in a while.
Honorary member.
I moved back to Nashville.
Is there anybody here from ALE besides me? You're from ALE. Atlanta Linux Enthusiast. Atlanta Linux Enthusiast, for those who don't know, is probably the best mail list for Linux in the world, in my opinion. Have you been on the others? kind of suck.
My Portland group would argue, but okay.
Well, actually, yours is... pretty good. Yeah. I will have to admit that. His is pretty good.
Plug. Pretty good.
Atlanta Linux enthusiast. And
yeah.
Well, that's what the delete key's for. Okay.
And not unplug. We keep pretty on top.
And also DC 404. Now DC is DEF CON, biggest hacker conference in the world. They have local chapters based on the area code. The local chapter here is DC 404. We meet over at the
Vortex
in Midtown, not the one in Little Five Points, in Midtown on Peachtree, the third Saturday, I think it is, from 2 to 4. Say again? Yeah, the next meeting is going to be ShoeCon over by the airport. If you go sign up on the mail list, we'll send you information on it and you'll find out.
Okay, we've got John back on the line now. Oh, cool. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Better than before, actually.
Cool.
Okay, so we got your address up on the screen.
Okay.
You're in 31599, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. Who has questions for John?
He left off on something, but I can't remember exactly where he was.
Yes, somebody just said that you left off on something, but they weren't sure what it was.
Oh, yes. Changes in the judicial system, I think was the question. Yeah. I'm trying to help out some of that. I was talking about the crack law that just recently passed. It's not retroactive yet, so it doesn't help anybody here. But for anybody in the future coming up, I know quite a few guys who have been down, either just started and they're facing a 5-year mandatory minimum for simple possession of crack cocaine. But the way it was calculated is that 1 gram they may have had for personal use was counted as if they had 100 grams of cocaine. And as a result, they didn't get just what would have been, you know, say 2 or 3 years in state time. They're facing 5, 10, 15 years in a federal prison for what. If you had 1 gram of cocaine, then that would have been, oh, lucky, you got a 4 or 5 year sentence. And it's the main reason they changed that this year was it's a major racial disparity. Mostly statistics show that white people had cocaine, black people had crack. So that was actually one of President Obama's running points was to get rid of that. But I was also talking about changes that need to happen. A friend of mine here I've been helping, as I talked about, City of Park in Florida or Bay County Sheriff's Department, he's basically lost his fight in that. And what happened was, is a city cop who had recently been fired from the county sheriff's for perjuring himself and lying to a judge to get an arrest warrant or search warrant, stopped my friend at a police stop, didn't find anything, took some bottles of ephedrine, you know, the pill bottles, based like cold medicine type stuff. 6 months later, took him to the crime lab, no chain of evidence, no chain of custody, just said, hey, here, test it. And they said, well, it might have had some ephedrine in there. So based on that, he went and got a search warrant that said, yeah, this guy has drugs, all this blah, 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 blah. The crime lab said he had it. And so they went and searched. They found what's called an 8-ball, basically a small quantity of dope on him or in the property. And he got a 10-year sentence based on a whole string of what are actually illegal, traffic stop to chain of custody, chain of evidence, to how he actually applied for a search warrant when under an arrest warrant. When under federal statutes, it says the state, you know, whoever's authorized to get an arrest warrant. And the appeals court even said, yeah, well, the state authorized the city cop. But if you read the actual statute, the Florida statute says only a sheriff can get an arrest warrant, not a city police officer. And the appeals court completely overlooked that. And they have completely overlooked numerous other items we found, including this particular cop. After lots of Freedom of Information Act requests, we found he's not actually even a cop. They've got a copy of his paperwork that says he was certified, and yet it was dated, or on a fresh sheet of paper. It was dated 1988, but it has the current governor's name and the current attorney general's name of the state of Florida. So how can he be in 1988 be certified with today's attorney general and governor on the paper is impossible. And again, the appeals court has decided to ignore that point. And that is just one of many things that I've helped people with, of how the judicial system, if you have a cop that's been in a place long enough and they do kind of an okay job and they screw up occasionally, then they kind of get a free pass when they shouldn't. And that is something that definitely needs to get changed.
Do you have, since you've actually had to go through this as much as you have, what ideas or recommendations do you have of creating a... I mean, the EFF does a great job with legal defense, but, you know, I love the EFF, I'm a member, but they're going after the ones that have the best chance of setting precedent. What kind of defense fund or what kind of resources do you think you could put together, or what kind of things could be done to allow people who are in the trenches, kind of these lower profile cases that might be put into the subject, you know, the exact same situation that you're talking about?
Mainly, you know, growing up in public school and middle school and high school at least, you have basic civics, and it teaches you what the Constitution is. But beyond that, you know, there's no real education in today. It's just like all these people that got all the ARM mortgages and then, you know, defaulted. I can't count the number of people that I've met over the years that think, oh, yeah, adjustable rate's good, the house is always going to go up, but they can't even balance their own checkbook. You know, it's the same thing when it comes to law. There is no education in the levels it should be. And that is something that should probably be brought into beginning, you know, in elementary school. They teach you about civil rights and, you know how great America is, the Constitution, what it protects, you know, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and all that stuff. But once you get into middle school and high school, where you can appreciate the differences and understand it in a real world scenario,
from a federal prison,
it completely drops off the map. In high school, there was one elective class about current events, and I was the youngest in the class, but it was kind of one of those joke classes. You take it, it counts as something, but nobody really learned much, per se. Or you have other extremes. I had a friend who left here just this past June. The last time he was out, I was in second grade, or between first and second grade. He'd been down for 22 years, missed everything related to computers. You know, last time he touched a computer, he was working he did some paper feeding for this manufacturing company where he read off cards, typed it on a green screen, and, you know, a day later, it would prompt up what the paywall was. So, you know, what his case was, again, crack cocaine. He grew up in a tough area. He started pushing drugs as a teenager because what else was there to do to survive? I mean, the school was, you know, one of those failing schools at the time, and not much was happening. And he got held up, and even though he went to Chaw, poor black kid from inner city, you know, he was pushing dope, doing all his stuff. He had a gun, blah, 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 22 years.
Thank you.
So, but definitely education would be the biggest thing that needs to get changed.
Any other questions?
We have one.
Hi. Is there a place you can look up laws on stuff like, if I set up a site where people can run hashes against rainbow tables that I've set up for like a small fee or something like that? Is there like a strict, like somewhere I can find the legal definitions of like what I can do and what I cannot do, like charge for or something? Kind of like penetration testing or, you know, stuff like that.
Not really. That's the thing. It's a very subjective area. You can go to various things like West Law Group or Thompson. Both have huge resources. They do most of the legal books you find. And in fact, they're the ones who publish the United States Code annotated and related information there. And they have huge amounts of electronic access to these records of not just statutes, but Code of Federal Regulations, state laws, and case law research you can do. If you're ever interested in reading and doing searches on your own on the court, you can use what's called PACER, the Public Access for Court Electronic Records, to look up what people have done in the past and gotten blasted for it. The problem with so much that I've seen in technology is, as usual, the U.S. government is one step behind. They say they have this huge, huge list of things, but they don't actually define anything. It's a very, it's all a very gray area.
Do we have any other questions?
Okay. All right. So for our panelists here, any words for John?
Yeah, we miss you, man. This is Hug Me.
Howdy. It's been a little while.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
We can't wait till you get back.
Yeah. Will I still see you in a purple dress somewhere?
I'm actually dressed normally. Believe it or not, I'm a father now.
Oh.
Yeah, I have a 6-month-old who's here. Her first convention was Frolicon.
Wait a minute. Now, remember who's recording this.
College from a federal prison.
Hi, this is Randall Schwartz. Just want to say, keep the chin up, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Johnny X, how you doing, dude?
Good. Good. Can't wait to... one thing I can't wait is to read up on a little over 4 years' worth of 2,600 emails. That's going to be quite a chore.
I've got the archive waiting for you.
Thank you. Well, not just
I'll be
that,
more than happy to ordain you in a few religions, too.
The other 150 email list I'm still subscribed to.
Wow.
You got to be doing a lot of reading, buddy.
Yes.
Yeah, we want to know how many spam emails you've gotten in 5 years.
Well, last time my dad did a check on my email, I had, which was last spring, I had 500,000 emails in my inbox.
Ooh.
So,
you've got mail.
Yeah.
So it's going to be another 5 years before we see you again, because checking email.
Yeah, just to catch up on the email and say, hey, this what happened. Yeah, cool. So, but now hopefully the best bet is next November, December, get to halfway house, which will be for about 6 months. But it all depends on what they do with paperwork. So, but next year I'll be able to call in, but in 2 Dragon Cons, I will most definitely be there.
Nice.
Yay. Good.
Well, I wanted to thank everybody, since it's going to be coming up here on about running out of time again. Mm-hmm. Thank you all very much, and this is, I've been waiting for this phone call for the past several weeks, actually since this time last year.
Wow.
So, I look forward to talking to you all again next year, and be safe, and as Scott said, you guys have my address, or if anybody wants to, I know Alonk and Scott both have my contact information too in the future, and feel free to contact me. Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you very much, and take care, and we'll
y'all
see
too.
You. We'll see. We'll catch you next year.
Okay. Sounds good. Have a nice evening, y'all.
Thanks.
What was the question somebody asked me about? Oh yeah. What you wanted to know? Somebody back there wanted to know. What you should do about securing your wireless. The best thing to do is do WPA2 personal with AES encryption, MAC address filtering with at least a 30-character passphrase. There is a weakness if you use less than 30 characters. So you do that, and pretty much they're not going to break it. Now, if somebody really, really, really wanted to get in, they'll simply beat you with a rubber hose and get your password. It's called rubber hose cryptography. The real issue is when you've done that, that's as strong as it gets, and currently with the current technology.
Well, just for your wireless encryption.
Yes, yeah, so that's
there
just
are
for
other
wireless.
Things you can do that will increase that. For example, every time you set it up so that once you connect to the wireless system, and this is fun to do with an open system and set up a honeypot. Set up a system so that they connect and it looks like they go to the internet, but they don't actually. The only way you can get to the internet is to VPN in. So you use your system to VPN to a box to connect to the internet. Your VPN is the encryption. And the VPN encryption is much stronger than anything wireless will give you.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's just a little less out of the box for since this is hacking 101. The biggest thing is, though, at that point, you're going to look like this big, giant, spiny porcupine security-wise. They're going to go to your next-door neighbor who has an open wireless.
Yeah.
They'll just drive a little further down the street.
Yeah. Randall.
Sir.
Speaking of things, do you want to talk about the issue you ran into with the police, briefly?
That's like a 90-minute conversation.
Okay. Well, we'll do
panel.
That.
Yeah.
201. Maybe we'll do that at 201.
We'll do a bit of it in 201. It always comes out eventually. Go to lightlink.com/FORS if you don't know what we're talking about. Or just go to the Wikipedia page for me. It's linked from there in way too big of letters.
I use my cell phone to get on the internet as my main, my main service. Is there any kind of inherent danger in walking around with your cell phone? Maybe Bluetooth hacks or anything like that?
This is a binary answer.
Yes.
Yes.
And what can you do to kind of safeguard against
VPN over that.
People hacking
into
your
VPN
cell phone?
VPN over that. Yeah. If you, with my cell phone, how many of you use Fring or something with that you take your cell phone has internet access, and when you make a call, instead of making a call with your cell phone, you go over Skype. Does anybody do that besides me? Your call does not get counted as a regular call, but Skype is the first VoIP network ever to use heavy, heavy encryption. They use AES 256. They're trying to make that the standard. Skype is the heaviest encryption of any messaging protocol you will use.
And they only do that because the CIA owns a part of Skype.
Yeah, I know.
Do they really?
Yes.
Huh?
Do you know what encryption Vonage uses?
No, I don't. Skype is the heaviest encryption of any VoIP software, though.
The question was, did they know what Vonage uses? And he knows.
Vonage just uses plain SIP, no real encryption. I mean, your username and password is hashed when they get sent, but beyond that, it's just plain SIP.
It's double ROT 13.
Yeah. Woohoo! ROT 26. ROT 26. Love that.
Does anybody else here use Pigeon to do their...
I
guess not. Yeah, I was going to mention the same thing. Pigeon's a nice little program. Aggregates all of your chat feeds, so MSN, AIM, if anybody still uses that. If you use a plugin called OTR, off the record, just put it in Google, it'll pop right up. You can get AES 256 for whatever protocol you use.
OTR's 256 now?
Yeah.
I need to download the new one.
Page.
I have the older one.
At least on the Linux version it is.
Yeah, the one I have is still Blowfish, I think was the last one.
Linux, what's that?
Yeah.
It's a poisonous fish, don't eat it.
Ah.
Well, it all that runs on Windows too, and Mac.
Are we up against time?
On the subject of VoIP encryption, just so that everyone here knows, I'm a voice engineer, do stuff for banks, particularly a certain subset of voice engineering for banks. And most of them don't encrypt your VoIP traffic between their call centers.
Just for something for you to guide
you
to worry
some
about.
Of the worst. They are, but at least the stuff they're being recorded on is encrypted usually.
I
know anything about that.
You want a giant gaping hole in your bank. You go through, no, in every single one of them. The drive-thrus, they stopped using hard wires for drive-thrus. They're all wireless. They're all completely unencrypted. You can walk by, pick up the RF for a drive-thru, and get complete clear text, complete clear data. Don't ever use a drive-thru.
You brought up briefly, just you mentioned honeypots. I actually was trying to play with those a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
What is your personal recommendation for honeypot any kind of pre-built honeypot testing?
Pre-built? I have no idea. I use Squid.
There's a Linux distro that is built to be insecure.
Yeah, it's called Linux.
Okay.
Ubuntu.
Okay, you use OpenBSD?
Free. He uses Open.
Okay.
We fight about this a lot.
Right. I mean,
really?
I
switched over.
Wow. Was it because of our conversation last year?
ZFS, booting off ZFS.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yes. FreeBSD because it boots off ZFS.
All right. That Linux distribution was called Damn Vulnerable Linux. And what RBAC system is available on BSD?
Give me one.
RBAC system?
RBAC.
Role-based
authentication.
He said RBAC, which is role-based authentication.
Just in that, are there ACLs in FreeBSD?
Yeah.
There's ACLs.
FreeBSD is a full-blown version of Linux.
This is a Hacker 201 conversation, actually.
Yeah.
We're scaring them. People, we lost them at Linux, too much fun. Yeah. Come tomorrow night. Come tomorrow night and ask really useful questions from tonight.
Discretionary versus mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah, go.
Okay, I have a comment and then a question.
Sure.
Being that I have siblings, a lot of times they'll say, "Hey, I want to use my Wii on the internet," and I look at them and say, "No." Since we're a panel of hackers, does anyone have any hacks to make it not use WEP on a Nintendo system?
It's probably not supported by the hardware. It's probably the hardware.
Yeah, don't they make a network port that you can hardwire it?
Yeah.
I don't have a Wii, so.
No Wii. No Wii Hosi.
Try the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 3 has a new ball thing. It's sort of like the Wii, but it's actually three-dimensional. The commercial is hilarious. The commercial is, we made this system because you don't fight like this. But the Sony system can figure out how far you are, and you swing around when you fight, and it's really cool.
Then we have the Xbox 360's Kinect coming out.
Kinect's the same thing, yeah.
It's a level playing field.
This might sound a little crazy, but if nothing else, I suppose you could have a separate wireless network just for those devices, with a firewall that separates it completely from your stuff and only allows traffic to the server they need to connect to for the game.
The Apple AirPort.
One of the actual best things you can do for your wireless is turn off broadcasting your SSID. Yep.
That's only slightly helpful. It's like Mac filtering. It's just an illusion. Mac filtering is just an illusion, so is turning off your SSID. Both of them really only stop. They're like
they
only a giant lock. They're painting like painting a big picture of a lock on your front door.
Yeah,
it's just an illusion for stupid people.
Honest people, honest, and it's the same way in computer security.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
no pick a good password.
You can get past anything if you have enough time.
Yep. All right, I think we scared them all. More questions? More questions? There's somebody back there. Over here. You're the one. You're the guy.
When you were talking about drive-thrus, are the ones connected to the banks just as bad as the ones away from the banks?
Yeah.
The ones connected to the banks don't use hard wires either?
Nope, not anymore. It's cheaper. Those copper wires are expensive. They're like, you know, I can spend 50 cents on a little RF sender.
Yeah, by the way, to have networking put in, because I've done a bunch of them, cheap is $160 per drop, and 99% of that is labor. The hardware is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
We only get
wireless.
Like
plug it in,
questions.
Turn it on. You're done.
Yeah,
we're just about to wrap up.
Do you
here.
Have a question?
Because we got a new panel coming in at 8:30.
Now,
get you guys
how often would you recommend changing your WPA password? I mean, because the one I have at
30
home.
30 seconds. Every 30 seconds. Just kidding. Right.
So,
Yeah,
so
how, right.
You have
dial it up.
That's like 30 characters.
It's the same thing I told him. It's about how much pain you want, because I would have to go through and change like 12 devices every time I change it. But so it takes a while to do.
Yeah, you see, the thing is, obviously you've got $600 billion on your home computer that we want to steal, so we're going to spend a lot of resources trying to break it. The point is, 30 characters is so strong, the NSA is going to go, you're just not worth the effort. So, right. So that's basically the thing, is you're just strong enough that you're obnoxious and they go somewhere else.
If you come over to my house, I'll tell you my password. If you come back a year and a half later, it's still the same password, because I can't remember a different one.
KeePass is your friend.
It's in hex. A dead beef babe. because that's 13 characters. It had to be 13 characters. So.
Of course, he doesn't live at the same address any 2 days in a row.
That's so true.
Just a small suggestion for changing passwords. Buy a YubiKey. I know it's got the one-time pad thing. It's great, but set it to a static password mode. Use it as the 63 characters. Plug it into your devices. Press the button. Use that as your password. Change them all at the same time.
Nice.
Whenever you need to change your password, just change the static password and do it all again. Press the green button. It's done.
That's clever.
What is it?
YubiKey. YubiKey.
Yeah, two-factor authentication.
Yep. All right.
Other questions?
Done, Scott?
Come on, let's stump the panel. Make them drink. We don't have any beer, but we can make them drink water.
That's hacking 201.
Well, if nothing else, we need to go ahead and wrap up. So.
Oh, okay.
You're going to make your plea for the...
Hacking 201, for those of you who haven't been to it before, you ask a good question, we toss you a good beer. There's a beer fund right there. Donate generously. You've been absolved of all sin. You might as well have fun.
Yep.
Woo!
Come to Hacking 201. 10 o'clock tomorrow night right here.
Yep.
It says 2.5 hours for the event for tomorrow night.
That's just the first 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it goes on all night.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for
coming.
Everyone.
Well, no.